You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You good? You good? I can't see you.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. An Insecure podcast on post-show recaps. That's right. We got y'all. And surprise, bitches. Bet you thought you seen the last of me. But I am back to talk the fifth and final season of the groundbreaking, generation-defining comedy that is Insecure. I'm LaTanya Starks, and I just got back from an extended wait at Nathan's barbershop. I was waiting to get styled and all lined up, and it took literal weeks for my guy to come through. But, you know, as we've discussed on this podcast before, in my absence, you can't just, like, you know, stand up your barber. You just kind of got to wait around. Yeah. So I'm sorry that I missed some time with you all, but I'm back now. And thank you so much to Asia and to Sasha, who helped to fill in for some of the podcasts that I was out. I really appreciate you all coming on and hope to get to podcast with you in the future. But that is enough about me. Let's get to our phenomenal panel for this evening. Here by my side are two of the best of the biz. First, we have a person who shares many of my opinions that I've espoused, not on the podcast, in the last few weeks. We have Mari Forth. Mari, how are you?
Hey, I'm excited. This is another one of those episodes that just drew me in. I'm so glad you're back to talk with us, LaTanya. I can't wait to hear your thoughts again on what's been happening over the season. But I mean, we're just getting closer and closer to the end, and it's just it's so scary.
Yes, it's very, very scary. Then we have the man who tried to take my job. He did such a good job being the host of the podcast. And honestly, it made me a little upset. So, yeah, with that, Chappelle is here. Chappelle, how are you? You were just too good. It was something that, you know, you're too good at it. And I was like, oh, he took my job. Gerbs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just thinking about how squirrels always act like they forgot to do a bunch of shit. My bad. I would have chopped in earlier. Yeah, LaTanya, it was a good time, but I'm happy you're back in the driver's seat. Like, I feel like you have big shoes to fill, and we tried to fill the void by bringing in Asia and Sasha, and we tried to do our own, but it feels good to have the gang back together. So although, yeah, I was unsuccessful in stealing your job, there's always next time.
Yeah, you can always keep trying. Yeah, it's good to have the gang back together, especially for this incredibly unconventional episode that we got that I can't really, like, wait to get into. There's multiple flash forward kind of like daydream scenarios that happen with Issa and Mirabitch. Who is back. Mirabitch has returned. It's not, again, not me calling her that. That is the official name of the character. And it all comes down to whether Issa is going to choose NBW or choose to go on working with Crenshaw and focusing more on the community, and about whether or not choosing NBW makes Issa a sellout. So we have a lot to discuss here, but first of all, I want to get back to doing this thing that I thought was fun and ask you all, what are your headlines for this week's episode? Mari, you first.
Of course, like you said, it has to be the flash forwards. I mean, when the first one happened, my heart was like racing. I was like, oh my gosh, is this a dream sequence or did they jump into the future again? You know, so I thought that we're nearing the end of a series. So we're getting kind of those cliches of, you know, what's she gonna choose? They kind of scapegoated here by showing us multiple futures to kind of see how we feel and kind of test the waters. But I'm not mad about it, and we'll definitely talk about them. So definitely the highlight of the headline of the episode.
All right, Chappelle, what about you?
I don't know if I have a highlight. I'm very confused about a lot of the main points of the episode in a way. I feel like the show presented us this binary choice of nothing but water or Crenshawn. And right. I just wasn't looking at it like that. And I'm not quite sure Issa should be as well. So I'd be happy to talk about that when we get to that point of the episode.
And not just the binary of nothing but water and Crenshawn, but the binary of Nathan or Lawrence too.
I think that is a binary choice. I really don't think there's a middle ground where she can. I mean, don't get me wrong. The third option where me and Mari land, where she gets neither one of them, is still there. But like, I don't think there's a middle ground where she can have them both.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's true. I just thought that this was like a big swing to take for an anti-penultimate episode of your final season of television. Definitely. And I'm still trying to sit with it. We're recording on Sunday evening for this podcast. So, you know, we're really very much still in it. I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking for myself. I'll just say I'm very much still in the episode. And I'm not exactly sure how I feel, Mari.
Yeah, no, that's what I was about to say. Like, I watched it once as opposed to normally we watch it twice. And I actually, like, did not take notes. I just watched the episode and absorbed it because I felt like when you present it as like either this or that choice, the best thing to do from what I've, you know, in my experience is to go with your gut reaction. So I kind of wanted to take this episode. I wanted to approach this episode like how I podcast about it, just going with my gut reaction as opposed to watching it again, analyzing what I think the writers are trying to tell us and everything like that. I just kind of want to give my gut reactions to this episode that we watched tonight. And I'm like really excited to hear both your perspectives of it as well.
Okay. Yeah, Chappelle, are you still in it?
Yeah, it's one of those things where there was so much going on to where I feel like maybe I missed something, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, whereas Mari, like, is kind of wants to go off her gut. I think that's probably the best way to approach this episode after one watch, because if you want to go in and get into all the nuance of the glances and the way people react to certain statements and stuff like that, then that's probably the most accurate way of doing it. But that's not a lot of times how choices are made. You go off of the way you perceived it the first time, because you don't have, you replay it in your head over and over again. And sometimes that changes too. So like with the flash forwards that they were giving us, they didn't give us a lot of time to dwell on certain moments. It was like, boom, he's just here. Boom, boom, he says here. Boom, she's on the plane with Ty Dolla $ign, and then bam, she's back in the bathroom. And so you don't have a lot of time to digest that and make a choice. You have to go off of what you saw the first time. You don't get like the hard copy of all the situations in front of you before you make your decision. And so I appreciate being able to look at it this way. So yeah, in a way, my head is still kind of in spinning. The episode. Yeah, a little bit. I'm still trying to get my footing on this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, a bit of a mind twist. Yeah, there. This episode. So we'll see if we can break this down for you all. But first, we need to have a quick break and pay some bills. So we'll throw it to our sponsors, and when we come back, we will get into all the nitty gritty of season 5, episode 8, the antepenultimate episode of the entire series.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. Okay. So I think that we should just start right at the beginning. We get this beautiful kind of floating drone shot of LA. I love the way that the city is. I think I've like mentioned this before, but I love the way that this city is filmed on this show. It really does make you want to be there. And like be a part of everything that's going on. And then we have Pillows by Emmanuel opening up the episode. That's the song that we hear playing in the background as we see all these swooping shots. And it's just, a really pretty song, in my opinion, to like go with everything. We find that Issa and Nathan are in bed and they're in bed together. And Nathan asks Issa what she's thinking about. And Chappelle, what was she thinking about?
She was thinking about how squirrels always act like they forgot to do a bunch of shit. You know, like they late for work or something. And honestly, I am that squirrel. That is me.
It's just the most random thing ever. I'm thinking about squirrels, but also Tiffany.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tiffany, too. I forgot about that. She thinks about Tiffany moving away, you know, because we saw at the end of the last episode that that's a big deal. It's coming up.
Yeah. So Nathan then says we'll have somebody to visit and then gives Issa a kiss. And so Issa asks if you really mean that. Like, are you coming to Denver with me? And we get a little bit of a pause and Nathan says, hell no. Nah. So, Mari, what do you think about this? Do you, now that we've had the last episode and the two of them have really professed their love for one another, first of all, do you all think that love is true and genuine? I know that you talked about this a little bit on the last podcast, but, you know, we're getting a lot here of the two of them. And then a lot of them potentially in the future and how they could look. So I think it's a question that bears revisiting. So what do you think?
Yeah, it still just feels awkward a little bit. Maybe it's just me. I don't know how you guys felt, but it's still like, it still feels weird. Like it still does not feel as comfortable, you know? But, you know, at least they're playing around. I would love to go to Denver. Why wouldn't you want to go to Denver? I hear it's nice up there. Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
You hate it?
Well, it's just cold. You know, I don't do the cold. And they from LA / Houston. I don't think they're going to like Denver weather. Well, not once the women.
It can't be cold all the time. Right?
But when it is
cold. During the summer or something.
See, y'all from up there.
Oh, that's true.
Cold doesn't really
do it for us.
Yeah, we have multiple types of coats.
I don't do that. Look, when it hits 67 degrees here, I'm not even going outside.
67, sir?
67. I got my coat on. If it hits 50, I got a scarf. Like
67 is not, you don't even need a hoodie
degrees.
For that.
Fahrenheit over here. Or Celsius.
I don't know the conversion, but let me tell you, I will not be outside in it. Not know that,
that
much.
Is crazy.
That's ridiculous.
Oh my gosh. But
we walk out and things have fully frosted over in the time that we left our car. And that's just how things go.
I don't want no parts of that. That sounds ghetto.
67. I cannot believe that.
Maybe like 66, but like if anything under 66, I'm probably 66. Just not going to go outside.
Oh, that is such a warm day. Like, that's such a warm day.
Yeah, that's like a nice, brisk fall. Yeah. You know?
Brisk? Why do you even use that word?
Maybe not even brisk.
Well, in Chicago, everything is either brisk or like the wind is trying to destroy you and your family.
See, and the wind tries to destroy us too, just in the form of tornadoes when it's warm outside. I just don't understand why we would need the brisk. You know, that's past.
Okay. Well, now that we know Chappelle's thoughts about the weather,
and my winter.
Anti-Denver, apparently.
Anti-Denver.
It sounds like Chicago, too, if you really
Yeah, apparently definitely anti-Chicago, if that's the point. So Issa and Nathan end up in the bathroom together, and they're just kind of talking. And Issa asks, you know, about, we see Nathan take his meds, which I think is great. I think it's continuing to have the discussion normalize things that happen when, you know, you have mental health issues. So, like, mm-hmm. there are normally, like, you know, pharmaceuticals involved. You have to take those meds at a certain part of the day. So, like, you know, showing that he is keeping up with taking his meds, showing that that's something that is okay to do, and normalizing that as part of his daily morning routine, I think is great.
Yeah.
So they're in the bathroom, and Issa is wearing Nathan's shirt. And basically said that she had hid it from him. And then he starts to talk about all the different articles of clothing that he has left over at her house, which made me cringe immediately because I knew that the conversation was coming of, well, maybe we should just move in together. I'm not exactly sure how much time has passed between when the last episode and this episode, but
I think they said a few weeks.
Okay, just a few weeks. It seems a little too soon to be talking about moving in together. What do you all think, Chappelle?
I mean, yeah, no kidding. I think that that's why they showed Nathan taking his meds, because they wanted to make sure you knew that he wasn't manic when he said this. This is Nathan in his right mind offering this wild choice up to Issa and saying, like, hey, I leave my clothes here anyway. I'm always here anyway. Why don't we, the two flightiest people who ever existed, move into each other, like in with each other? And specifically, why don't I move in with you? Is a very different dynamic than two people going to get a home together. But, you know, like I said, at first, I probably would have been like, oh, okay, maybe something's going on with them. But we saw him take the meds. And so I appreciate them adding that touch to the scene, because had they not, I would be on this podcast being like, yep, he's off his rocker. Just because it just seems like a bad decision at this point in their life. Now, don't get me wrong, they could work out, right? But it just, for the timeline that we've been presented, it seems really, really rushed.
Yeah. And the other thing I was kind of wondering, where is he staying right now? Because I remember formerly he was staying with Andrew, but I don't think that's the case anymore.
No, he moved out of Andrew's
cousins at one point.
I think he has his own place, because I think that's where he was going. We saw it, didn't we?
Well, we saw his room.
Yeah, we saw that he exists in a bedroom, right? But you don't know if he lives by himself,
right?
If he's got a living, like a roommate. We really haven't gotten into that from what I can tell.
Right. So, I mean, that's not a good look. That's very homosexual to be.
Homeless sexual was a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's what
it was
called, one of those things. So, like, that's kind of scary there. But, I mean, I don't know. Is this how you ask to move in with somebody? I don't know.
Well, Mari, how do you ask to move into with somebody? Is it just kind of like it's like a proposal? What do you do?
Don't know, because I mean, he did say, he's like, you know, yeah, we could move in and, you know, save money and stuff.
Save
too.
Money. That's like, the number one reason is I have my clothes here. The number two reason is we could save money.
I know.
That ain't what he said. He said, I like being around you. I like being around you. I like waking up with you. I like making coffee for you in the morning. See, I'm not even making a fan, but I can see the propaganda. He said all those things. And he said, save money was the last thing he said, LaTanya.
Sometimes you put the most important things last.
That's why you introduced me last on this episode of the podcast.
Oh, no.
Oh my gosh. I don't know.
I'll take things that are wrong for 300, Alex. Issa talks about how Mikasa is kind of turning into Weekasa, which is funny. We have this whole conversation. Issa asks if they're ready. And the answer is a resounding no. And it seems to it seems to me that Issa knows that, like deep down inside. I don't know. Am I projecting here, Mari?
No, because she said, I'll think about it. Yeah, we can think about it, or we can start to talk about it. Like, she didn't immediately jump on that, which is like really interesting, because again, I feel like Issa from like two episodes ago probably would have jumped on this, you know, when she was, you know, asking him, you know, when she originally said she loved him, and then she was just waiting for him to return, you know. Maybe she would have jumped on it then, but like, it does seem like she is a little hesitant now. So, and it's, she's asking a good question. I mean, at least she's like, maybe we should really consider this before we just gone ahead and jump into that. But it then, of course, makes us as the audience wonder, is she hesitating because of, you know, their situation, like just the two of them, or is she hesitating because, you know, her heart is somewhere else? So, I mean, I definitely think she did pause for a second and did say, like, you know, let's think about it first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'd have to agree with or echo what Mari's saying when she says, like, we're thinking about whether or not it has to do with Nathan or whether it has to do with maybe the Lauren situation, because a couple episodes ago, I have no reason to believe Issa wouldn't have jumped on this.
Right.
But the thing that changed is that she has seen Lawrence, and she's starting to reconsider what that could have been and what that could be. And throughout this episode, we see that as well. So I think this has less to do with Nathan and more to do with Lawrence, if you want to be honest.
Mm.
You know.
Then this TV show that's supposed to be a comedy turns into a horror movie, because one of my worst nightmares occurs. Issa is brushing her teeth.
Ugh.
And then Nathan says, that is me toothbrush. Ugh. And I just audibly, I don't even know what to say. it's just so bad. Why did this have to be? It's bad enough. I don't like to see people brushing their teeth. I don't know why there are so many scenes in movies and TV shows of people brushing their teeth. It's not a good look. It always makes me feel weird. I hate it. But the idea that I might accidentally use someone else's toothbrush is my God. So,
me cepillo de dientes. No.
So,
oh my gosh.
That was, I mean, like, honestly, that let me know this episode was going to be a little bit off. Like
that right there, that's what told you.
Yes, that was the first indication that something was going down that I may or may not have liked. So we move on from the bathroom, thank God. And we get to see Issa at the Blocks Art Walk. And it looks beautiful. Like, all of the booths are very well put together and well spaced, which is important. Everything is like very meticulously planned, and we see Issa walking along with her boss as he's complimenting all of this and saying, like, what a great job she and Koya have done, and that she should expect an offer in writing from Nothing But Water very soon. So, you know, that in and of itself is a big victory for Issa career-wise. What do we think about this possible move with Nothing But Water? Mari?
Great. I was confused because I thought they had already hammered out a deal. Because remember a few episodes ago, Issa and Koya were talking how they're like salaried now. They're on the payroll already.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I don't know event planning and brand collaboration or none of this. So maybe this is just like another official step or something like that. But
they were probably doing it just based on an event by event basis. Mm-hmm. And so they weren't independent contractors anymore. They were salaried, but they were only making money when they were submitting billable hours that had to do with putting together events, like specific
gotcha.
Events.
Gotcha. That's
what I think.
So now this is what, like a merger in a sense? Well,
so this is right. Almost essentially Nothing But Water kind of taking over, like, not
not a merger,
right,
but maybe a little bit more like an acquisition.
Yeah.
Of the block. Right. So that nothing but water, like umbrella of companies. Okay.
Cause did they say brand collaboration? I can't remember. But either way, I mean, it's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity with people you have worked with before. At this point, they've seen a lot of your events. I think the boss even said like they're giving her and Koya more and more like leeway, mm-hmm. I guess is the word, or creative license, because right. It seems like
they trust them now.
Yeah, they trust them now. So it's such a great opportunity. And again, this is what I love to see from Insecure. We're finally getting Issa doing something she loves and being good at it. Like we got a reference to her, you know, working at an after school program, yeah. You know, at one point, like a lot of callbacks here in this episode. Especially, I don't know if you were going to get to this, but after she's talked to her boss and that lady came up.
Yes,
to her,
I was going to talk about this next.
Yeah. Sorry, but yeah, so it's great. I think it's great. I think this is a really good starting point. This is such a good thing to see. It's really awesome that her boss or whatever guy likes what they're doing. So I love seeing this. I really did.
Yeah. And then next, this isn't funny. This is just like peak Insecure being weird. You know right. what I mean? So it's like a combination of Insecure and Twin Peaks that happens all the time. A woman comes up to Issa just to like say, "This is great. I'm so glad I came here." She's holding, I think, a plant that she probably bought from one of the stalls. And she goes, "I'm so glad I came here before going to that bridge." And Issa just kind of looks at her like, "What? Okay, thank you for coming." And then goes to Koya like, "That woman was gonna kill herself. She hadn't come here." Like, I know it's ridiculous, but like, Chappelle, what do you think about the fact that Insecure peppers in like little like interstitial jokes like this?
Issa is saving lives. The art walk is literally saving people's lives.
It's literally saving lives.
Yeah. Walk tall, be black. Love blackly, be safe. Like, these are things that you get from the art walk. That woman walked in, maybe not so tall, maybe not so black, maybe not loving so blackly or so safely. But here she is now leaving on the opposite end of that spectrum. And I love that for her. And her cactus or whatever that was she bought.
But y'all know, I think that was the lady from like the second episode.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
She ran into her after the
at the bookstore.
Event. Yeah.
The bookstore. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's back.
Oh my gosh.
Issa's not a fan, and I like
that. That's a pro of Issa continuing to work with the block, because she is literally keeping that woman alive. I don't know what would happen if she no longer had these events to go to. So add that to the pro column.
Yeah, didn't she call her Miss Block?
Miss Block.
Yeah. Miss Block.
Hello, Miss Block.
I love how Chappelle was like, maybe she wasn't as black as when she went in.
What you said, walk tall, be black. And I was like, I'm going to start saying that. And then she backdoored with a love blackly, be safe. I said, you know what, Koya? You the MVP in this episode.
But then when the white people came in, she's like, oh, that you're here. That's rad.
Only rad to see you here. Yeah. That code switch is real. Okay.
Koya is one of the unsung heroes of this show. Like, we don't talk about Koya nearly enough. She's such a great episode. Yeah, she's such a great assistant too. For Issa to have. I mean, you know, and this all came from Condola, really. Like getting the two of them connected. But she's really become a rock for Issa. Helping to plan these events, and then just being somebody that she can joke with when things are hard, which is really important to have at work, because especially in event planning, everybody is a diva all of the time. There are a million permits, and all of them require way too many specifications and way too many pieces of paper to fill out, and everybody wants everything that they want right now. So it really does help to have someone like Koya around. So shout out to you, Koya. Yeah, and you're making the world a better place as well. So then Thomas and Nathan appear. Issa, a rogue Thomas and Nathan appear. Issa and Nathan kind of like, you know, kiss. Issa takes some pictures of the two of them that are just terrible pictures because they clearly don't know how to pose, I guess, around plants. And then Issa calls, you know, Nathan says he's got to go to the shop. And she says, I'm not going to say it. Okay, I'll say it. We're a power couple. How much do you all think Issa is kind of loving the, because when you're an event planner, you want everything outwardly to look great. So how much do you think that Issa is loving the like outward appearance of being a part of a power couple more so than actually being invested in the relationship?
I don't know about that. I think for Issa in this moment, Nathan is just somebody who has been struggling to kind of get his footing as well, right? And mm-hmm. Issa can relate to that. And what Nathan says, he's going back to the shop. He's going back for the men's group. Like, he's starting a mental health group for mm-hmm. the men so they can meet at the shop and actually talk about constructive things. And so it kind of falls in line with Issa's passion of helping the community. So I think that's what mm-hmm. she was saying. Now, don't get me wrong. Issa wanted to be flashy like everybody else do. I get it. But I don't think that's her motivation in this moment. I think she can just recognize that he's doing the men's group thing. She's out here doing the art walk. She's talking about a mental health aspect of this and saving lives. I think she just kind of feels like maybe as a couple and even as individuals, they're making strides toward helping the community. And they're doing it together in a way that, you know, she thinks looks good. You know, so I don't think she's more invested in the visual of it.
Okay.
Yeah, right. I agree.
You agree? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Seeing what comes back. So, okay. Then our faves, Molly and Kelly and Amal show up to support Issa and to make fun of her for being so lovey-dovey with Nathan, because you have to, you know, you have to make fun of your friends when they're in love, especially when it's new. It's just like a rite of passage. And also, everyone who was wondering where Amal is, he is returned. You're welcome. He's still alive.
It was like Candyman. I think we like said his name 5 times and he was...
At least 5 times. Yeah, and then he appeared. So it's great to see. I mean, the friends always come out, and Amal does too. They always come out, like, especially for these bigger events, to support Issa. And I think that's really important. And it's just, I don't know if I necessarily have like a comment here. I just think that it's great that, you know, she has this support that shows up for her time after time. And that's especially true with Molly, because, you know, the last event that we saw Molly at that Issa threw did not go so well for them. You know, they were having an argument, and she and Molly may or may not have had a gun. So,
well, she did go to the Crenshaw joint. So technically that all went smoothly.
I forgot that she went to the Crenshaw. Yeah. One. Okay. Yeah. Please correct me.
But yes, she,
but also may or may not have had a gun at that one too. You can't, who's to say? So then Koya and Issa are packing up. Everything's winding down from the art walk. And then they see Crenshaw, and they're just like, why? Like, what and why? And he comes over to apologize to Issa and say that he can see through everything that she's been doing that she actually does have a love for the community. He's about to open a new store, and he wants to work with her. What do you all think about this? Mari, you're laughing.
As people who have done this Issa Crenshaw thing to death, like, it's hard because like it felt like it came out of nowhere. I'm like, what's your angle here, you know? Just out of the blue, you're just like, okay, yeah, I think we should work together again. And I did, like, I mean, he did say, well, there's all these permits and stuff.
<I'm> like, yeah, please fill out these forms, woman.
I know, you just need somebody to do the administrative work, because you're like, yo, administrative work's not for me. But initially I was just kind of like, I don't know. Like initially I just thought like, oh, okay, you can do both. I didn't think anything of it being like that big. I thought he just wanted to collab with her again. I mean, that's all we got at this point. Sorry. Was just that he said he was opening up a new show and he wanted to collab. Mm-hmm. So, I was just a little skeptical. I'm not going to lie. Just because it felt like it came out of nowhere. But I was kind of glad that at least it seemed like he was trying to, you know, return her olive branch in a way, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
Brownies.
Right.
That may or may not have been real. I mean, we'll get to that in a little bit because there was a lot of things in this episode that just are not real.
I do want to, there was a lot though that, I mean, we just kind of covered, you know, the end of this art walk, but I just felt like there was so much in there with, you know, the Nathan and Issa thing with like Kelly even throwing out that Issa just started loving Nathan because based on the conversation we had earlier, like maybe it is too soon for you to be moving in together.
Yeah.
You know, Molly's on her second date with Torian and seems she's ready to have the sex.
Right.
You know,
the sex.
Issa talking about Molly's, you know, the wills and talking about the estate planning with Molly and, you know, like
how we're going to get there.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you know, the conversations that they pushed through were like, oh, wow, okay, you know, and then so all of a sudden to be hit with Crenshaw, I was like, wait, what? Why? Go away. Like, all the other storylines I care about. Like, I want to know more about Nathan and Issa. I want to know about Molly and her, or, you know, her parents and stuff like that. But I don't want Crenshaw around here. The entire episode, I just kept screaming, Issa, tell him no. Tell him no and move on with your life. Right. Protect your peace. And so, yeah, the best part of this scene, again, Koya saying, like, basically, Crenshaw, I will fight you.
Exactly. Yeah.
She like, you don't Molly know what weapons I have gun. Hidden. Right. Molly might not have brought the gun to this event, but Koya keep a piece on her. She keep that tag on her. So, yeah, I loved all of this.
Yeah. It's just with... So I obviously like wasn't around for the discussions that you all had about Crenshaw. I did have a lovely discussion with the social worker at the hospital where I was, who just happens to watch Insecure and loved it. And we just had, instead of talking about like, you know, practical things about getting released from the hospital, we talked about Insecure and we talked about Crenshaw. And so like, for me, my main thing with this, well, two things. The first is the main problem that happened here, aside from Crenshaw wanting to like carry out his vision, in my mind, is just that it's poor communication on both sides. Both Issa and Crenshaw are new to the careers that they are trying to promulgate here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they necessarily haven't learned all of the ways that you're supposed to act and interact with people. Like in any other situation where Issa had actually had more experience, she would know that the day after, maybe 2 days after, you meet with the client and you have a discussion about everything that went right and everything that went wrong. And then you squash anything that it could potentially happen there. But Issa, being as new as she was to this job, didn't know that that was part of it. For Crenshaw, the thing that bothers me is, so like, this is the second thing, is that you can completely ruin someone's career by going off on Twitter about them or any kind of social media. And that stuff gets around. They're all, you know, this art walk almost did not have, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the
Anthropology name. Collection.
The Anthropology
the
Collection.
Anthology Collection.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that makes more sense.
We just want to go to Anthropology.
That makes way more sense.
It's late. Leave us alone, Chappelle.
Exactly. Why am I the villain?
those are kind of my two cents on the whole Crenshaw thing. It's like, you don't put things out there about people, especially if you haven't had a conversation with that person, that could potentially ruin that person's career. And like, the reason that I'm so up in arms about this is because I like experienced this. I had like earlier in my debate career, there were like debates that I had where I had to, like, you know, say arguments that I didn't necessarily agree with to my opponents that were arguing about things like Black liberation, right? And then because of that, and because of us not sitting down and just having a conversation or us figuring out who the other person is, for a large part of my debate community, time, I was ostracized by like the group of people that I was hoping to have the most experiences with. And that was the Black people in the community. It wasn't until, you know, all of us got older and more mature and like we actually talked to each other about things that rifts started to get better. On like, to bring it back to Issa, this could have completely ruined her career and completely ruined her standing in the community that she's trying.
It almost did.
It was very, it came very close, and it clearly meant a lot of extra work and person hours on Issa's part and on Koya's part to get these people involved. So just like, long story short, have a conversation with people. Like, don't air your dirty laundry on Twitter or whatever social media platform that you use. And just, you know, be like adult about things and have conversations and communicate so this type of thing doesn't end up happening. That, in a nutshell, is kind of like my reasoning for not wanting her to work with Crenshaw, because he took it to a place where, you know, regardless of whether you agree that Issa did the right thing or not, he took it to a place where he could have potentially ruined that woman's career.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't, like, I can forgive you, but like, that doesn't mean I want to partner with you.
So exactly.
I understand completely why it was that they were like so shocked to see him when he was there, and why Koya was ready to like draw knives, essentially.
Yeah. And she was not ready to accept his sexy ass apology. And I get it. You know, I truly, truly get it. I was going to ask, I think we can keep going and I'll ask it when we get to like Molly and Torian. But yeah, I mean, this was very interesting, and it led us to the main crux of the episode.
Yeah. It's hard to pin down the crux of this episode, and I'll talk a little bit more about what I mean by that as we keep going. So we get to Issa's apartment. She's doing her hair, which is beautiful and has gotten more and more beautiful as the seasons have gone on, because now Issa Rae IRL has her own like hairline. So congratulations to her, because she is amazing in all the ways. So she's doing her hair, and then she hears like her phone, and it's the offer that comes in from NBW, and it's a lot of money. It seems like we don't learn the figure, but Issa starts freaking out, and so does Mirror Bitch once you know she hears about all of this. So I really want to get into what you all think about the upcoming daydream, fantasy, flash forward, whatever you want to call it. But first, we are going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back. So stay tuned.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, we're back. So we go immediately from Issa kind of like looking in the mirror, celebrating her new offer, to a fantasy, it turns out. And my first question is, how long do you all think it took Asia to figure out that this was real? I love you, Asia. I love you so much. But that brought me so much joy on like two separate occasions. And so now I'm wondering how long it took.
Oh my God. That was good. Right, Kisser.
Inquiring minds want to know, okay?
Cool.
The second question that I have before we delve into these is, what do you all think of this type of storytelling device? Do you find it meaningful and illuminating? Or do you find it a little bit tedious and kind of, you know,
lazy in a sense?
Yeah. Ooh,
not lazy. Go off, Mark.
No, no. Seriously.
I was helping
that's
her.
Thank you for helping me find the word. It's yeah. Lazy. I appreciate it.
No, so, yeah, let's hear about that.
Let's talk about this before we get into the actual, like, sweet, sweet fantasy baby, as Mariah Carey would say, of it all. Like, Mari, please.
It did take me a minute. Like, I was like, okay, all right, she's getting her groove back. And then it was like, and then it was quick. It was to the next one. I was like, okay, she's even more successful. Then when she was interviewing with the one lady, and she was like, yeah, it was like 2 years ago that I had partnered with MBW. I was like, oh, 2 years. Okay. And I was like, wait, was I right again?
I thought about you during that moment.
And then she was like, oh, you know, we find out she's in Detroit, which means she's expanded. Oh, sorry. I don't know if we were at this part yet, but basically okay. I was just saying like, I was like, my heart like started beating, like, because I did not realize this was a fantasy for a while. I will give, like, me and Asia were probably in the same boat for a minute. I think the part that I realized, I was like, okay, I think it's a fantasy, was when she got back with Nathan and the house. And I even, like, at one point during it, I looked over to my husband. I said, what do you think, dream sequence or time jump? Because I knew it was one of the two. Mm-hmm. But the whole time, my heart was really beating. They really did, like, really get me here, because I was like, okay, all right. Because, you know, like, when you think it's real, you're like, okay, I kind of like this, but I don't know. You know, then she's on the plane with like Ty Dolla $ign and all that. And you're like, what is happening right now?
Exactly.
Yeah. And then when she goes back home with Nathan, this was when I was like, oh, please let this be a dream sequence.
And I do love seeing us in first class, though.
I did like the first class shout out. And it looked like it was a long trip, because they had like the little sleep pods.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
I was like, where y'all coming from? But
it looked like if you're coming from Detroit to LA, that's a long trip.
But that's not that long. Not for the
pods. Yeah.
No.
You flying Emirates from Detroit? Okay.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, were they in Dubai?
Maybe I've been on the Emirates flights and you ain't doing that from Detroit.
That's what I'm saying. So, but yeah. And then so when she got back home with Nathan, and then he said whatever he was doing, I don't even remember. And then when she asked, when did we move to West Hollywood? That's when I was like, okay.
Right.
Okay, it's a dream sequence. And I was just waiting. I was waiting. But I mean, like, They got me in that first one. But because they get you in that first one, that means every subsequent one after that, you're like, you know, you're just trying on a new pair of shoes here. So that's mm-hmm. why it can be kind of like when you say it's like lazy booking, it's kind of like, that's what we say it in
the wrestling business. World. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just kind of like, huh? Yeah. You guys like this? You know, oh, no, you don't like that. Okay. What about this? What mm-hmm. No, no. So in kind of what naturally happens, I think, what'll probably happen, especially with shows like this, it's just we'll get neither of those two things. You know what I'm saying? Like, it kind of tips your hand, you know? It won't turn out like either of those two things. Because if it did, we would have the natural progression of it actually happening. So,
right.
I mean, they got me, you know, you had us in the first half, not gonna lie. But after that, it was just kind of like, okay, where are we going with this?
Right. It's like, fool me once, you know.
Yeah.
Like, but literally, you fooled me once.
Yeah.
Chappelle, what do you think about this type of story device?
I think it was cool. I think I agree with Mari to an extent. I do believe this is very fan servicey. And that's something yes. I learned from Mari too. Like in the rest of the world, they do things where, you know, they're just like, we know y'all want this. So here, damn, you know,
take it. Here's it for and a split second. And then we reverse it.
And then we go back to what we want to do anyway, you know? And so, yeah, I get what Mari's saying with that. But for me, I knew very quickly this was a dream sequence. And throughout. Well, the thing that tipped it off, honestly. So you get through she first off starts talking about like, oh, stacks on stacks on stacks. You know, like she mm-hmm. I'm a rich bitch, you know, like her bars. And so when they show like the initial time jump, it's like when she's presenting, you know, like, her new contract with Nothing But Water and stuff like that. Like, she's talking about it. And then very, very quickly after that, she's at a conference where it's called the Nothing But Water Conference. And I'm like, okay, so now the block got it. Like, now she got her own conference that fast. I'm like, okay, we're doing a lot here. And then when she ends the conference with, all right, y'all, you know what I always say? Ooh, child. I was like, all right. You had me for 15 seconds, but that child, things are going to be easier. Like Mari said, that's a callback to the last conference we saw them at.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What she's saying.
Because I live and die in LA. The positive. Yeah, exactly. She was like, yeah, to live and die in LA. So I was like, okay, you don't pull that Crooklyn reference out of nowhere for the five stair steps or whatever for that song if it's not a dream sequence. So for me, I liked it because you do get to see Issa in a world where she has it all. She has the things that she wants, and then she's living the life that she wants to live. Like Latanya said, it's good to see us in first class. Issa is living lavish. Like, she got the outfits on point. She got the hair on point. She got like, she's boss lady. You know, she's doing it all. She ends up in first class. She ends up sitting next to Ty Dolla $ign.
Exactly.
From the mirror bitch way back when, Ty Dolla $ign is her guy.
Like, exactly.
She literally was like, wait, I gotta. Yeah, she was like, I got to stay with Daniel, because if I stay with Daniel, I can meet Ty Dolla $ign.
Exactly. You
know, so 4 seasons later, we
know. That was when I was started. I was like, okay, all
right. Yeah, he's here. And he's like, magically about to go work with Crenshaw, right?
Right. And so that's where, like, the fantasy kind of took a left for me, though. Like, so I was enjoying it until it was, oh, he went to work with Crenshaw. And then that's where you start to see, like, oh, okay, now I'm going to get the choice. But then she goes back and she goes to see Nathan, who's basically wearing Lawrence's, that sweater that he'd be wearing. Well, it's not Lawrence's sweater, but it gave me the same vibes of, like, that goofy, like, album cover sweater that Lawrence was wearing way back when the turtleneck. But yeah, so when they talk about the move from West Hollywood, my wheels started turning there. I mean, the move to West Hollywood, because my wheels started turning there on. What exactly is the choice here? Is Issa thinking that, you know, Crenshaw has made it? He's going to be working with Ty Dolla $ign. So he made it without her. But throughout the episode, we saw that at the conference, she hasn't been back to L.A. Now she's flying from Detroit to West Hollywood. She's still not back in her neighborhood, you know, and those are the things that made Issa. That's why it was the block. You know, it wasn't the block because she was in Detroit doing conferences. Like, she was supposed to be doing that stuff at home. And so that's why I liked it, because it kind of, without beating you over the head with the choice, it made you realize, like, what she thought she would be giving up by you know, going with the stacks on stacks on stacks from the Nothing But Water deal.
So yeah, her authenticity. She thought that it would, you know, change her and change her whole life, and that, you know, she'd leave and all that. And I don't know. I think we'll talk about that a little
change.
Later. Yeah,
yeah. But it's like Issa's whole brand is the block. You know, it's the area. It's Issa is from the neighborhood. She wants to do artwork for the neighborhood. And so in this lavish fantasy that she lives, in 2 years, she has completely turned her back on the city in a way. You know,
where
people are asking her, like, hey, Issa, have you been back to L.A.? And she's like, no, not really, actually. You know, so that's why I enjoyed it, because in a way it was fan servicey, but it did give you the like the dilemma in a way that didn't kind of beat you over the head with it.
So did we miss something? Is this deal with Nothing But Water, would it mean that she would have to not do things with just the block? Like,
I don't think so, honestly, Mari. Yeah. I think she's just looking at it like that because she knows when she starts to get paid, she knows the look, sometimes money. We forget where we came from. And I think a part of Issa knows that, I mean, it's fun to help the neighborhood. But then when you get to a certain place in your life, sometimes you just want to help you. And we saw that in the initial interaction with Crenshaw, where it was, do you support Crenshaw's art and his vision or go a different direction than what Nothing But Water wants to go with? Or do you support you and what you want to do so that you and Crenshaw can make some money? And so I think it's a binary decision that she's made in her head based on her interaction with Crenshaw the first time.
Right.
Yeah. I have to admit, you know, and don't come for me with pitchforks, people. We have a pretty kind audience, so I don't think that would be the case. And I just got back, so like, yeah, calm down. But I think that this might be my least favorite episode of the season, if I'm being honest.
Really?
Yeah.
The beach episode is right there, though.
I like the
beach episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the beach
episode. I think that they're like, it took us on a journey. Like, there was progression there.
Losing Molly's dog is right there.
It's true. But
to
your point, this doesn't really progress the storyline in that much in comparison to the last episode where we were faced with, you know, Molly getting new stuff going on, Issa, you know, deciding, you know, making this decision between Nathan and Lawrence. Like, it didn't really progress it, but I think it does kind of set up some of the struggles that Issa is going to see moving forward. We've said repeatedly here that she's so new to this business and to this world, and that there are going to be, you know, decisions that you have to make, and then you have to own your choice. And so I enjoyed it because it's a real thing, right? Where you sit down and you feel like you're at a crossroads and you have choice A, you know, door number one goes this way. Choice B, door number two goes that way. And you play those things out in your head and you fantasize about what could be. But what Mari's saying is a lot of times it's not either of those things. It's not the thing you fantasize about. Mm-hmm. It's probably less glamorous. Like Issa,
way less glamorous.
Stacks. Yeah, I don't know how many stacks they offered her in that email, but in 2 years, she's doing conferences. She's basically running the business completely, and she's flying first class with Ty Dolla $ign and living in West Hollywood with her husband, Nathan. You know what I'm saying?
Like, what, did she kill the two people who like were in charge of the company? Like, was there a coup of some kind?
It's a hostile takeover or something that happens in the next 2 years. And So I liked it because we'd only have two more episodes, y'all. They're trying to give us something to play with.
I get that part. I really do. It's just like, we only have two episodes left. So we're going to spend an entire episode focusing on two different fantasies that the main character might be having. And then just a little bit about Kelly and Molly. Like helping their Molly's family to put together, like, you know, end of life things to like put together so they don't die intestate, which just means die without a will.
Yeah. Which is a very important conversation that, you know, they only spent a little bit of time on, but
because they were so busy doing this. Mm-hmm. Like,
this episode felt very short as well. I need to know what the runtime on it was. It had to be, it was definitely less than 30 minutes.
It did, because there's only so much you can pack into fantasy sequences during a 30-minute runtime, especially if there's two of them.
I do have to disagree with this one because I quit. No, it's fine. What I'm just saying that from my perspective, I felt like this episode, it's two episodes from the end, but it's not like we are trying to resolve anything currently. This episode set up the new problem that we now have two episodes to fix. Because to this point, the question has been, is it Nathan or is it Lawrence? Well, for all intents and purposes, it's Nathan right now. They're about to move in together. Now, don't get me wrong, she's having second thoughts, but people have that. But if the primary conflict for this season was Nathan or Lawrence, or Lawrence and Condola, both of those two storylines have been resolved.
Yeah, so last week. Like,
yeah. I feel like this episode was a 30 minutes of, okay, now what's next? Because we're hinting at the Tiffany thing, but I mean, you like Tiffany, you don't like Tiffany, whatever. That's a very minor storyline. We spent three episodes essentially talking about Molly and the estate planning. So I think they touched on that. I think this is setting us up for the 1-2 punch that is episode 9 and 10. That's why I agree. I don't really dislike it.
Yes, and that, let me chime in here. I like this episode. I didn't dislike it, especially not, like I said, 4 and 5 took me for a little bit.
Stop it.
So I actually did. I like this. It did. Those dream sequences still made me feel things. You know what I'm saying? Even though I know it was a lot.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that I didn't feel the same feels that every Insecure episode makes me feel.
Yeah,
that word has no meaning anymore. Now I've said it so many times. I'm sorry to interrupt. It's just like I think that this could have been done in a more efficient manner.
Yeah, I mean, and I feel like you're not alone in that. I think Jason from last week probably agrees with you. The letter from last week, and a lot of people did because, we said it did not move the needle here at all, but like at least not for what was already established. This was an episode that established new things or set up for new things, which is kind of weird because we still only have two episodes left. So it does feel like, okay, why are we setting up for something when we don't have the time to flesh it out? Mm-hmm. You know, it can be one way to look at it. Or like Chappelle said, it could be like we're going towards the big resolution. This is the crossroads where we now know what the setup is so that we can set up for the big resolution. So I can see it both ways. I liked that we're getting more of Issa's inner thoughts and stuff like that. But honestly, I don't know, because I've had this type of choice at least two separate occasions when it comes to my career. I've had do I do this or do this? And 9 times out of 10, when you make that decision, it's not this far ahead. Like, you're not looking 2 to 3 or 5 years in the future. You're looking, what will benefit me right now? And I mean, that's just me speaking from my personal experience. It was like, do I stay here or do I go and do this? Do I make this move or do I, you know, I stay here? And it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, maybe I don't know where this will lead in like 2 to 5 years, but I know right now it'll help what's going on in my life right now. So I think that's what Issa kind of needs to focus on, in a sense of like, because her fantasies kind of seem off base. Like, Chappelle came into this podcast saying she made her career path very binary, when it doesn't seem like to all of us, unless we're all missing something, that it needed to be this binary. Like, I don't understand why she can't do some amalgamation of both of them. I don't understand why she thinks automatically if she goes with MBW, she's going to be a complete sellout and forget where she come from, you know, but going with Crenshaw means she keeps her morals, but she's still on struggle bus city a little bit. So it's just kind of like, it's very interesting. It's a very interesting thought process and all that, and think piece, and you know, we're gonna, it's one of those things where we all three of us came into this episode like we are gonna be talking about some shit. It did what it needed to do, and again, at this point, nothing is surprising me, and I'm just waiting for the end of the season so I can properly collect all of my thoughts, if that makes sense.
Yeah. If this episode did anything, and it did a lot of things, it's that it really like caused me to have like a deluge of thoughts about the possible choices that Issa is facing. And I agree with you that there does not have to be this binary. You know, one of the things that she could actually have written into her contract is having the ability to still be able to like do things with the block, to still be able to make sure like that she can work with people like Crenshaw, because, you know, the Nothing But Water people, it seems like they didn't see whatever like beef was happening between Crenshaw and Issa. So that doesn't preclude the possibility of them working with him again, because his show was a smash, like success, according to the Nothing But Water people. So, yeah, you know, for me, I think it was just more of an efficiency thing. And also, you hit the nail on the head, Mari, when you said that it doesn't have to be like one or the other. You don't, just because you get like make money and you're being paid what you're worth, doesn't make you a sellout. And I really think it's important, especially in the Black community, for like women, especially, to be paid what they are worth, if not more, and not have to feel guilty about it.
Yeah. I mean, that is another thought there.
Yeah. And this definitely is in line with Issa's character from my perspective. Like, her making this a binary decision, it sounds like what Issa would do in her situation, because what she saw last time from her perspective was a binary decision. She chose Nothing But Water and their vision, and then Crenshaw said, okay, but you a sellout. And so, like, that is something that is permeated throughout, and now it's just manifesting in her fantasy. So it's not like the writers wrote it binary and it didn't have to be. This is just on par with what Issa's experiencing. And so I can't knock her for that, but yeah, she's definitely wrong. You don't have, you can have it both ways in a situation like this, at least from my perspective.
Yeah. So in the next scene, we see that Molly and Kelly are at Molly's parents' house, and they're doing some estate planning with Molly's mom and dad. Everybody is, you know, really like anxious and on edge about this. You know, like one of the brothers offers to go make tea, and then it's like, there is no tea. I don't know if there ever even was tea in this house. I'm going to go buy some tea. Because nobody really knows what to do, and their parents are still really reluctant. Plus, and this is like a really sad moment, but like one that's true to so many people, is that, you know, Kelly wants to get to the point where she's talking about like assets, like actual cash money that is going to be left behind. And Molly's dad gets really upset and says that he feels like he worked really hard for 50 years and now he has nothing to show for it. And that was just really like a poignant line to me that like, you know, hit me really close, because, you know, so many people in our community don't estate plan, period, but like they don't do it because they don't feel like they have anything of value to discuss.
Right.
And it's really sad. And it's also the case for a lot of people because of the, you know, the way that the capitalist system functions, because of the way that the economy functions, because things, you know, have gone through inflation, is that people work and work and work, and then they retire and they have nothing.
Yeah.
Because even if they were able to save, those savings, you know, in this case, all got diverted to paying for Molly's mother's medical bills.
Yeah.
So I'm just, you know, this is something that I was really glad that this scene occurred. I was glad that Molly brought Kelly along to do this. Kelly has been such a stalwart when it comes to helping the people in her life plan for their futures and figure out their presence. So Kelly was so gentle with them, and she was just great in this scene and throughout this whole process. And you could tell it was really hard for Molly, because she said, you know, you loved us. And that's like all that really matters. Mm. Mari, what do you think about this scene and its importance to like us as a people, really?
Yeah, it's very needed. It's sad. It is very sad, but I think we've said it before, like, you know, passing and not having a will can be very, very difficult on the family you leave behind, you know, even if you don't have much. So, you know, the best thing is to always get your estate in order just so that, you know, it's not such a burden on the people that are left behind. But also it has to, you know, it's felt so sad when you do realize you don't have that much to actually divvy up. And, you know, the lack of generational wealth amongst, you know, minority communities, you know, is just one of those things where you feel like you're never going to get out of that hole. Mm-hmm. And it's just you'd rather just not deal with it type of deal. So it was very important. I'm glad they got it done. You know, it took a lot out of everybody, but it really is truly, truly important. And I really like that Insecure is, you know, putting a spotlight on it, because it's something, you know, I never thought about it, especially for me, you know, till I owned a house and stuff like that. This scene really hit me. It really, really did. It was really, really tough. And I thought it was needed, and I liked it here.
Yeah. And Chappelle, I ask you about this, because let's just stick with the characters here who are doing the estate planning scene. And then we'll talk more about the Crenshaw fantasy in a second. So, you know, it seems like this is something that took hours and hours to do. And everybody just looked completely drained by the end of it. And like, I know we've all been in those situations with family. It doesn't necessarily have to be about like, you know, coming up with a will. But we've all been in those situations where we leave an interaction with family and we just feel like there's nothing left in the tank. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Molly thanks Kelly, and, you know, they kind of like make plans essentially to like see each other in a social way that does not involve this in any way. And then Molly goes back to her car and she just breaks down, which was another thing that really hit me, because like, I have a habit of crying in my car. I don't know if that's something that other people do or if it's just something that like is used for dramatic, like, you know, purposes on television and shows and movies. But I am one of those people who like will totally go and cry in my car, mostly because I don't want other people to see me cry. But I just really like felt this at the time. And then just as, you know, she is sobbing into her steering wheel, Torian calls. They have a date night planned. So apparently the green light was given by one or both of the individuals. Mm-hmm. They have a date night planned, but Molly is just honestly too exhausted to do it. And Torian is so sweet in this moment and so understanding. And we've talked about the timeline here. It's only been a couple of weeks. Right. So, like, what do you all think about, like, now that this relationship is actually happening, like, they're actually dating each other? What do you all think about Molly and Torian and how Torian reacted in this situation? Chappelle?
I mean, from my point of view, it's just a second date. You know, like, they're taking things slow. I've always wanted that for Molly. I always thought she was moving too fast. Not to say that you can't, you know, have sex with someone or something like that and then not ruin everything. But in Molly's patterns throughout the series, she goes from 0 to 100 very quickly. You know, it's like, spent the night, but I got you a drawer. You know, that's Molly. And so for me to see that, okay, they're on a second date. They haven't done anything physically, but they're still getting to feel each other out. Cool. And, you know, also, Torian seems like a good guy. In this moment, he hears her out. He's sympathetic to her feelings. He doesn't pressure her. He doesn't make her feel bad about it. And, you know, and he tells her, if you need to talk, I'm here. And so I don't know what else you could want from him in that moment.
Yeah. He literally handled that perfectly. It was like, check, check, check. Yes. And we'll talk about later. It was just like, you know, I think just alone, first and foremost, like not pressuring her to come out, not guilting her into feeling bad about mm-hmm. not coming out, you know, stuff like that. And then finally being like, you know, you can talk to me, right? Because you can tell when she's crying and she sees the number and she tries to, like, you know, get herself together and she answers it. Yeah, so I really loved all of that. And he really is shaping up to be like one of the better people she's dated, yeah, clearly.
Seriously.
But I want to ask you guys, how do you guys feel about basically their relationship has all been off camera so far, in a mm-hmm. sense, since they kind of connected at the retreat? Everything we've heard about Molly and Torian has been like Molly relaying it to the group, as opposed to us seeing a connection between them until, I guess you can say, this episode. How do y'all feel about that?
Go ahead, Latanya.
Well, I would have liked to have seen like how this got started. Kind of like the awkward first moments of it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just because those are always cute, mm-hmm. romantic comedy kind of things that I enjoy seeing. But I kind of understand why we haven't seen it. Like, this show this season has been trying to accomplish a lot of things mm-hmm. And a lot of things in this episode. So, sure. They probably just ran out of time for it. The way that they make up for it is that Torian, you know, someone showed, like, I guess like a Uber Eats person or someone shows up with like a bottle of alcohol and some food.
Yeah. Wings.
Yes. Like, which sounds like, and they're from Torian. And that just made me love him even more. I was just like, you know, this is amazing. I would like to see more of the two of them together on screen, because I was telling Chappelle about this last week. If you flash back and think back to season one, when Molly was obsessed with getting on that like professional dating site for people the league. And then she finally got on and she was like, you know, it's a numbers game. Let's keep going. Let's do it.
Uh-huh.
And she kind of like went down a checklist essentially of what her ideal man would possess, attributes that he would have. And Torian kind of meets all of those criteria. Like, you know, he is successful, incredibly upwardly mobile. He's very smart, you know, not that we know of, like he doesn't have any children that, you know, that's never been brought up, you know, all of the kind of like superficial things that she was looking for. Yeah. She found those in Torian, but like you all spoke about this on the last podcast, like why I would call the two of them to be together. And I guess my response is that Molly seems like the type of person who needs someone to spar with in a relationship. And it was the fact that she and Torian were trying to prove to themselves and everyone else at work that they were equals or like one up each other. And it was something about that like just made me see a chemistry between the two of them and made me think that in a relationship, it would be good for them to have that like ability to one up one another. The only thing that like gives me pause about this is that it's a relationship that's happening with someone in her workplace. So I'm wondering what you all think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone on record to say I don't love that. You know, like that's asking for mess in a lot of ways. But if you can navigate it, fine. You know, it's just in the past, we've never seen Molly in a situation where she was in a spot where she could navigate this kind of thing tactfully. So I think we have a growth arc for Molly that is coming to the end. Right. I think Mari has pointed this out several times. This is the Molly story arc. You know, like she's grown the most of anybody. She's a different person than she was in the first season. I don't necessarily agree with the sparring situation just because I think Molly going to do that with whomever. Like she going whoever she find, they going to do that. They're going to have to go there with her. And so like, I don't know if Torian specifically, the thing that they have at work, it kind of led me to believe that they had chemistry to date, but I don't think it hurts them either. I think it's something that they're both feeding off of it in a a positive way, because they're able to spar at work. And then when it gets time for to be personal, they're able to let their guard down and actually have like real conversation when it's time. And so I think that's the most important part. It's less of the sparring and more of the, okay, put down your gun, put down your weapons. I'm here for you. You know, that's the part that she probably hasn't gotten before that is setting this relationship apart. If it's a relationship, again, second date. So I'm okay with them, you know, taking it slow. This might be a little controversial, but I wouldn't hate to see them have a hiccup. I know there's two episodes left, but we've always seen that when things get tough, Molly and mostly Issa, but Molly, you know, she often will take the easy route out, or she'll make things worse than they have to be. Right. When she finally finds the one problem, it's an issue. Well, it's a huge issue. You know, it's never just minor. It's never one tiny thing. It's one tiny thing turns into it's like a snowball effect for her. And so I know there's only two episodes left, but I would like to see Torian maybe do something that Molly doesn't love, and then see how she reacts to it, if she's able to compromise, or if it's something where it's kind of, well, who was it way back? Well, maybe like Jared or maybe Andrew, where it's like almost a deal breaker. So I would love to see what that would look like to, you know, kind of demonstrate her real growth.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Maybe at the next episode where it's Tiffany and Derek's going away, maybe she runs back into Dro or something. But I would just say I think I like that their relationship is a little bit off screen. I mean Latanya made a good point. It could be because we're just running out of time and screen space for it because this is the last season. But I also think it could be just to emphasize how slow they're taking it. And I think that's great. We've been talking about it for the past three episodes now, or two episodes now. I think that she needed to take this one as slow as possible if she wants it to last. And I think that's kind of underscoring it with us not seeing them physically together too often. So
100%. Yeah. I mean, in a normal Molly relationship, we would have seen them have sex three times by now. It's been three episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
We haven't even seen them kiss. So I think that's probably why most of it is off air.
Yeah. So I guess we should go back then, now that we've covered Molly, Torian, and Kelly, and Molly's parents, go back to the second fantasy, sweet, sweet fantasy baby that Issa has. And this one is specific to Crenshaw. So Issa ends up meeting with Crenshaw. He pitches her a lot of ideas about how to help the community. He's even sent her a proposal. So it seems like he's starting to like pick up on how to be a lot more professional. They share kind of like the story. Issa shares the story of how she used to work with essentially like an educational consulting kind of business. And like after school program, essentially. But Issa says she's not really sure and needs to think about it. So, Crenshaw brings Issa and Toya, to show them the new space. And that's where, Issa gets the amazing brownies, from the guy that works there. Apparently from an air fryer. I'm just going to say, I don't have an air fryer, but I want one because I don't know.
Don't you have one already?
I'm a terrible person. I need to be flogged. I don't know.
I mean, if you don't have taste, then that's a you thing. I don't know how me and Mari have to sit here and podcast with you. You should have told us this weeks ago, because we would have had to reconsider. We'd be talking about Harlem or something.
Don't rule it out.
Oh no.
Don't rule that out. So yeah, I don't have an air fryer, but I have, through the many Twitter videos and then like TikToks through Twitter that I've seen, come to believe that an air fryer is here essentially to save us all, that I need one yesterday. And apparently these brownies are from an air fryer, which it just blows my mind whenever people are saying all the things that air fryers can do. I feel like an 80-year-old woman who's like first discovered electricity.
They're magical
So I just wanted to get that out there. That was a very important point. So they jump forward about a year, and Issa and Crenshaw are now partners. And then they're doing all this stuff in the community. Everything seems to be going fantastic. You see the close up on the Inglewood sign. And then who shows up to present Issa an award for spearheading change in Inglewood and generally being a bad bitch? But one Tyra Banks.
Yeah.
Everybody. Tyra Banks has been on the show now.
Yeah. Well, Tyra Banks is an Inglewood native. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense. It makes sense to me.
Yeah. I was like, about time, Tyra, where you been? You
right.
know, she gave her the key to Easelwood, you know.
Easelwood, right.
Yeah. I thought that was hella clever. Like, Easelwood is so dope. Funny. Hey, did y'all peep Koya was wearing that integrity sweatshirt? I screamed.
Was she? Oh my yeah. God, I missed it.
You know, they in partnership with Crenshaw now. And so I guess she felt like, I mean, I guess I can wear the sweater. I loved it.
Okay, so then Issa comes home to Nathan, and they're apparently still living in Issa's old place in this particular fantasy, because working for and with Crenshaw, even when you are the queen of Inglewood, doesn't necessarily give you all of the money that you might get from, say, working with nothing but water. So Nathan says that, you know, somebody has a problem with their toilet, and so she runs to get the plunger because she's apparently still building manager of where she is. She wants to get the plunger, and then she hears Nathan say he's proud of her, but she can't really make it out. So she comes out with a plunger and says, "What?" And then all of a sudden, a wild Lawrence appears. And he has been subbed into the fantasy now instead of Nathan. And he says that he's really proud of her. And she like drops the plunger. Lawrence goes in for the kiss. And Issa is like, "What?" and can't really do it. It's like Lawrence is haunting her subconscious. Like, she really can't fantasize about her life and her future without seeing Nathan in it. Without seeing Lawrence in it. They are two different people. And I know that. So what do you all think about this? Like, what do you think this means for Issa going forward?
This was hard because I'm wondering if I'm wondering if Lawrence popped up in that dream specifically because it seems like Issa wants to stay true to herself. The opportunity with Crenshaw seems to be what she probably originally imagined the block doing and being, you know? So, and I think at one point she says, like, you know, this is what happened when you go with, I don't know if she said her gut or something like that, but it was something to the effect of, this is what happens when you say what you want, or you own your choices or something like that. And you're not afraid to go out on a limb or something. And then, you know, Lawrence shows up. So it's like being true to yourself. I think she feels like she'd be more true to herself if she went with the Crenshaw deal versus the Nothing But Water, which we said, because of course Nothing But Water takes her away from where she grew up and the place that she loves in Inglewood in LA, while it's seeming like she's putting all the emphasis on this deal with Crenshaw will be where, you know, her having the key to the city, doing everything she wants to do with the city, but again, still struggling. So I wonder if that's why Lawrence popped up in this one specifically. However, I just don't, we haven't talked about comparing the two sequences too much. But I think the problem with the Crenshaw deal is, and what we kind of alluded to earlier, is like her and Crenshaw just did not work well together. So this might be your dream idea for where you want your company to go, but how can you trust that coming from somebody you just did not have a good working relationship with? Plus, does, like LaTanya pointed out, do you want to continue to struggle? Do you want to have that part-time job of being the super of a building so that you can, you know, continue the work that you're doing? And if that's the case, or if that's not the case, do you consider yourself a sellout? So, I mean, this dream sequence was very interesting. Of course, at this point, we knew it was going to be a dream sequence, and we were just kind of trying to figure out and point out the differences. And I think Lawrence popping up was just the only thing that actually made this worth watching, mm-hmm. in a sense.
Chappelle, what do you think?
Yeah. So in this sequence, I enjoyed this sequence because, like, it does show Issa staying true to the neighborhood. Everything she was doing was right up her alley. As far as what, like, even what Nathan was doing. I mean, Nathan is still doing the men's group. And, you know, we see that's the power couple that she has in her head. But, yeah, she doesn't have the glitz and the glamour and the lavishness that she would have if she took the Nothing But Water deal. But I think Lawrence shows up specifically here because proximity, maybe. So, like, we know that she moves away. She goes to West Hollywood. She's in a different tax bracket. She'll never see Lawrence again in her first fantasy. But in this one, she in the same neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? Like, same area. And as we know, this is the smallest neighborhood in L.A. ever, because they can't, like, you can't go to a food truck without seeing Lawrence, you know? Yeah. Like, you know, so I'm thinking that's why he popped up in this fantasy, because it's a little bit more grounded. The other fantasy was, like, best case scenario all around, but this fantasy was in a little bit more realism. It was more of the, yeah, you can have it all when it comes to your business and helping the community. You can be that girl, but, you know, maybe you don't get the ideal home. Maybe you don't have the ideal money situation. You're still plunging toilets for that girl who called Kelly a spider. You know, like, yeah, these things are happening. And so I think maybe that's why Lawrence interrupts this story. But I did want to point out that one thing that's true in both stories, she does not get to work with Ty Dolla $ign in this one either. She sees him on the side of a bus working with the water. Yeah. So it's like, even in your wildest dreams, sometimes you just can't have the thing that you think would, you know, would take you to the top. You know, it's like, it's still a fantasy and it's still out of reach. So it's not like either of the doors necessarily leads to Ty Dolla $ign. There's not necessarily a right answer here. You do what's right for you. And so that's what Issa is struggling with.
Which door best leads to Ty Dolla $ign? Yeah. Please let me know. So Issa kind of, like, you know, wakes up, snaps back from all of this, has like a brief discussion with Mirabitch before realizing that's fruitless, and ends up talking to Molly. And, you know, even though Molly is, like, fried from everything that she had to do that day, I just love their friendship so much.
Yeah.
I love how it's grown and how the two of them can rely on each other, but also have set boundaries with one another. And it really is the true love story of this entire show. Like, that's it. So Molly tells Issa, it seems like you pretty much know what you want to do, so you need to just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is good advice. What do you all think, Mari?
Yeah, that's what I said. It's like a gut feeling. You just go with your gut. You got to figure out what works for you, what works for you right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're signing a you might be signing a contract, but it's not end all be all. Things change every moment. So if you do pick one option, you never know. The door might not be closed for the other one. I just think that, like Molly said, you know what you're going to do, just do it. And I just also, again, we pointed it out so many times, like, I just can't understand why she can't do both, in a sense. So I hope that's what we get the next episode, the last episode, her figuring out how to, a way to do both, get the money from MBW, but also service her city.
Mari voting for the permutation.
Yeah. Always.
Poor Canela's dose. Chappelle, what do you think about Molly's advice?
Yeah, I mean, Molly, this is just another example of Molly being the grown-up that we've been expecting her to be for a very long time. She's made it. The friendship is where I wanted it to be. I've said, I've been very vocal at the beginning of the season. I did not want to see them fighting anymore because this is the real relationship that I care about. This works for me. And that's right before Molly gets that delivery that you talked about earlier with the wings much and the wine delivery. Making the, everything better. Yeah, so maybe Molly should send Issa some wings and wine.
Yeah, the two W's. So was there anything else that you all wanted to cover about these fantasies, how they differ from one another? Or you think we're all good there? Because I have one last question to ask the two of you.
I'm good with the fantasies.
Okay. So given that we are only, hurts my heart to say this, we are two episodes away from the series finale of Insecure. So I thought I would ask you all's opinion on where and why do you want to see Issa? Where do you want to see Issa end up when the credits roll on the last episode? Where do you want to see Issa?
I don't know.
I know, that's tough.
That's a loaded question.
Yeah. Is it?
Well, yeah. I guess when the credits roll, I want to see Issa and Molly together at the Ethiopian restaurant. Talking about her huge deal with Nothing But Water while she's also opening a store with Crenshaw and how she's working on herself because she has no man.
Right.
Yes. All right. So you're no man. You're like no man hive, right?
I'm sticking with that. I mean, yes, I'm no man hive number one, Lawrence hive number two, Nathan hive, not at all.
Right. I agree with you. To the point where I don't have a number two. It's just like, Issa has been dating for so long. Mm-hmm. Like she was in a relationship with Lawrence for such a long time. And then after that, you know, she started dating like at a pretty rapid clip, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that it seems like Issa has never had any time to spend with herself.
Right.
Just trying to figure out who she is as a person. Because I don't think that you can fully enter into a healthy relationship with someone else until you know yourself and you've had an opportunity to, you know, interrogate those things about you that you may not like. So you don't bring that into a new relationship.
Agreed.
So, you know, I agree. Like I would love to see, some like, you know, type of scene where it's like, Molly and Issa together, just like being good friends and having a good time. And, you know, like it's the whole, like, I don't need a man thing. Mm-hmm. I really am team no man.
Well, I want Molly to have a man.
Molly, I want to be a Tory.
I don't want Issa.
But I think Issa needs to be alone for a while.
I would have loved it ending with a Molly wedding, but at this point, it would just be too much. It would be literally cliche packing it in style.
How do we get there? Yeah. Exactly. Chappelle, what do you want for Issa?
Okay. This might be a shock. But believe it or not, I mean, I am team no man to an extent. But in both of Issa's fantasies, one thing is consistent. She's with Nathan. Yeah. And I think that's what she wants. I think she wants to be with Nathan. I think she's trying to make it work. I think they've talked about things. I mean, the communication could be better, but they're having the conversation. She didn't rush into the moving into each other situation. Lawrence is literally haunting her. She's not happy to see Lawrence. She's not dreaming about leaving Nathan at the altar or Lawrence coming and scooping her up and they riding off together in the sunset. Like, she is terrified by Lawrence ruining what she has. And I don't think, like, in her dreams at least. And I don't think that's like, dealing with like, maybe unfinished business with Lawrence all the way. Like, I think there's parts of that. But I do think that just the idea that second fantasy, she literally could have came home to Lawrence and she didn't. She came home to the ghost of Lawrence. And, you know, that was her first real love, her first long relationship. And I don't know if you ever really just shake that one, you know, as long as they were together and the things that they went through. I don't know if you shake it that easily. And just, you know, so I want Issa to be happy. And as much as it pains me to say this, I wouldn't hate her being with Nathan long term. I just don't want her with Lawrence because I think Lawrence could deserve better. the hive has been through enough. But all that aside, I do think that there's merit to in both of her fantasies. Two things happened, and she might not ever get to see Ty Dolla $ign, but she stayed with Nathan both times, and so I think for Issa that might be where we're going. But for me, give me Issa and Molly happy together as friends. And I'll be happy regardless of who Issa ends up with.
But don't you think, like, also at the end, Nathan came back. He bought pho for Issa, which, again, it's like wings and wine. And then pho is like, these are all my love languages. And
yeah.
And, you know, she was happy that he brought it, but he disappeared into the back. And Lawrence's voice came in, and that was in real life. That was real life, and she was kind of fantasizing about Lawrence being there. And then as she was looking at the door, after she heard Lawrence's voice, and Nathan comes trotting around, and she's like, oh, okay. Like, there's something still there. And I don't know if she had Nathan in both of those fantasies, but she's trying to convince herself that Nathan is what she wants, or where are we at with that? You know what I'm saying? Like, worst come to worst, she needs to talk to Lawrence. Worst come to worst, they need to, legit just part ways, I guess, like, because I don't understand how it's still unresolved between the two of them, but apparently it still is. So that needs to happen before the end. They have to. It just has to. So we'll see. And again, like I alluded to, the scenes for the next episode is going to be Tiffany and Derek's going away party. And it looks like Lawrence will definitely be there. And Nathan will be there. And it's going to get interesting. Oh, yeah. And Condola and the baby going to be there, too.
There's going to be a lot to talk about after that episode. Just like a rich text of 30 minutes.
An ultimate episode. Jeez, it's about to... I can't wait.
I know. It's wild, though, that it's almost over. Okay, so... apparently, I'm a 12-year-old boy. Just voice cracking away.
Oh.
sorry. So we're going to get into Chappelle's Music Corner. Before we do, I'll say that I've been seeing some people on Twitter saying that the music this season has been a real letdown. I don't agree, especially with last week's like needle drops that, you know, I really like just really took me back to like certain times in my life and like songs that I really love. And then all of the beautiful music that played during that like Lawrence and Condola specific like centric episode, I thought was very powerful at times and then very like ethereal at other times. I'm interested to hear your opinion about this, Chappelle, and for you to tell us a little bit about what we heard in this episode.
Yeah, I completely disagree with those people. I think if you ain't liking the music, you haven't given it a shot. You haven't really sat down and listened to them. And even if you don't like the songs necessarily, get into some of these artists. They're doing the big things here, and Issa's giving them a platform. Some of the artists have already made it. Like, I mean, have already made it. Like, in this episode, we hear Skate by Bia, and Vince Staples has this Are You With That song on there. You've got, of course, Ty Dolla $ign, Your Turn. Some Dom Kennedy at the end with the 3-2-3 Go Crazy. But, like, you mentioned at the beginning of the episode, I love that song Pillows by Emmanuel. Chat and Shit by Kari Fo is in this one. Bubbly Coat by 27 Deli. And Fuck It Up by Kamaya and YG. First of all, YG is a ridiculous individual and all his music is amazing. So, you know, like I think that you're not giving this a chance if you didn't like it. What I will say is check out all of those artists, but pay close attention to Emmanuel. I think Complex once called Emmanuel the R&B evangelist. That's one that I would check that out. I mean, he is Canadian. I have strong feelings about Canadian R&B singers and rappers. Not my favorite genre of that person. Mm-hmm. But But Emmanuel seems like a good artist to follow. But I won't get into too much of that. Latonya, I did want to read some of the feedback we've been getting, because since Jason wrote in a couple weeks ago, we've been getting a lot. Can I have a moment to do that?
Oh, I would love that. Please.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Because I normally don't check the reviews, but because we get, like, we only have a couple more episodes and then our feed will be like, I don't know, do we have to retire it? How does that work, Latonya?
That's an excellent question that I'm not the person who has the answer.
It won't just go away. I mean,
it'll still be there.
Yeah, I feel like we got to archive all our thoughts and stuff. But yeah, so we've got, since last week, y'all, we've gotten so much feedback. Zephyr says, a breath of fresh air. I absolutely love this podcast. I've listened to quite a few Insecure podcasts, and this is by far my favorite. You guys have great chemistry and provide amazing insight. When Insecure is over, please podcast about another show, please. Dezever, thank you. That's amazing.
Yeah. Post-show recaps. You heard it here first. The three of us have to podcast about another thing. The people want it. Open your eyes.
TJ Hookie says, I'm glad y'all got us. I've been listening to Post Show Recaps for 5 years, and this is the first time we've had a show for us and by us. Would love to hear your takes on Atlanta when it returns. Please keep doing shows like this. Even if it's Patreon exclusive, I pay for that just to support. Y'all Atlanta fans?
Oh my gosh.
I love Atlanta. I love Atlanta so much.
Yeah. I think the problem with Atlanta is that those people were, back when we first met them, they were regular stars.
And now they're like A-listers. Yeah. I want to know what happened to Alligator Man, you know?
Yeah. We might have an opportunity to get cast on Atlanta before they actually decide to build another season of it with these stars.
Yeah, seriously. I've heard some rumblings, though. I've heard some rumblings about them getting their schedules clear enough to do third and final season.
It'll be tough, but we'll see. Let's put a pin in that, Poster Recaps listeners. And then we get one from Winner48. Says, keep the content coming. Love this trio and look forward to hearing more from them on PSR, with a heart emoji. We also get The Real Nikki Face says, hilarious, a must listen. I love this podcast. I found Mari and Chappelle on BP Recaps and was hyped to know they cover other shows I love. Insecure is my favorite scripted show of all time. And this was the way this pod breaks down the show scene by scene, character by character, made me feel like I'm rewatching the show and gossiping and analyzing with my best friend. I'm forever laughing and relating with listening to this podcast recap. And I won't be mad if you guys do a recap of Making the Band. Man, and I honestly know this is taking a long time, but we only have one more, but I'm loving this.
This is amazing.
Yeah, and our last one we have is the podcast convinced me to get an HBO Go account.
We get broke off a little bit of that.
HBO, can hit us up. It says, from Kingsley 46, started Insecure in the first season, but fell off when my friend canceled her HBO access. Relatable. I wanted to listen to the podcast for the three podcasters and figured I'd just be a listener and not a watcher. The way each episode is broken down and each podcaster shares a different perspective had me hooked. So I just got HBO Max and I'm binging the seasons. Thanks. Loving the conversations each episode brings. And that's the music corner and our feedback corner for this episode.
Yay. Thank everybody so much for listening to our desperate
so good. You all don't know how much we feel we're screaming this into the ether, and maybe one or two people are listening and they're probably related to us in some way. So to hear all of that amazing feedback from you all taking the time to write in on they did this on the feed, right? On Apple.
On our Apple Post Show Recap. I'm sorry, the Insecure, the Post Show Recap feed.
Mm-hmm. And that really gives us, that's great, because that really helps the podcast a lot. And it also helps to give us, honestly, a lot more legitimacy when we get ready to go and pitch more projects for us and by us, as someone said. We want to talk about. So thank you all so much for those amazingly kind words. We appreciate you listening to us and putting up with our mess. Mm-hmm. We really, really just like love hearing this feedback. So please keep it coming. Thank you all for listening.
Yeah. And I looked it up. They're saying Atlanta season 3 is done filming. So early 2022, ooh, just throwing that out there.
Wow. They already filmed there.
Oh. Wow.
I mean, we have a track record of only covering the last season of shows.
Yeah, that should be that. That should be the podcast from us, the last season. Yes,
that's the pitch. Yeah. It's like The Last Duel, only not at all. Okay, so we're just going to, after that, keep it simple. We just got so much love and I'm still overwhelmed by it. We just want to let you all know that we have a Patreon. So you can support us at any level. It's patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Support PSR at any level that you're able. Signing up for the Patreon means that you allow the opportunity for more podcasts like this one to exist, because, you know, this is the first podcast of its kind on post-show recaps, and we don't want it to be the last. So the way that you can help us is by going to patreon.com/post-show recaps, signing up at any level. That gives you access to our fantastic Discord, which just all kinds of like fun and revels happen there. And we have more ways to talk about the show, Insecure, there as well. You find like a great community of people and you can talk with us. So also, if you have more amazing feedback, first of all, please feel free to leave it on our iTunes like feed, our Apple feed. We will check that from now on, now that we know that you all are doing it. And again, that helps the podcast. But you can also write into us, as some people have done. And we will read you all on the show. The email address is insecure@postshowrecaps.com. And then how can people reach you all on social media? Mari, you go first.
You can find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. You can find me there. Anything I'm doing, I'll post there.
All right, Chappelle, what about you?
You can follow me at Chappelle's_show, where I'm tweeting out the podcast links that I'm appearing on. So still talking about Silent Pod. I'm sorry, Never Have I Ever on Silent Podcast with Sasha Joseph, and Nothing But Netflix podcast every week on Rob Has a Podcast with Rob Sesternino.
And Sasha Joseph is the Sasha that appeared as a guest on this podcast. So if you enjoyed what Sasha had to offer on the Insecure podcast, then you will love listening to Sasha and Chappelle talk all things Never Have I Ever. It's such a great show. And the two of them are hilarious.
Thank you. And one last thing. I was on the first ever Rob Has a Podcast music podcast by... this is hosted by Isaiah 8-Ball Bangers. His podcast is called Ox Cord Approved. And so Isaiah, a rapper of his own right, you know, he is also a podcaster. And he's been given the opportunity to talk about his five favorite albums of the year. And so I got to kick off that journey and the first, you know, music podcast of its kind and our network, at least, to talk about the Tyler, the Creator album, Call Me If You Get Lost. And it was so much fun. So please check out Isaiah's podcast, Ox Cord Approved, to hear about that and to hear future projects that he does, because he is amazingly talented and a great podcaster as well.
Talented, a great podcaster, and honestly, one of the nicest people in the entire world as well.
Exactly.
Okay, so you can find me on Twitter at LK Starks, where I will be making all sorts of irreverent jokes and sharing things from my life as well. And just really talking all things pop culture, like talking about movies I've watched a lot, especially with the run up to award season. I am one of those people who actually really cares about award season. So I'll be watching a lot of movies leading up to that. You can find me on Instagram at Stormborn1222. I will be back on the Dexter podcast, not this week, because I have a conflict with when it's recording. But next week I'll be back on the Dexter podcast talking about everyone's favorite television, serial killer, Dexter Morgan, and all the shenanigans that he's getting into in upstate New York. And some more projects, in the making coming up, but can't talk about them yet. So you just have to stay tuned. So thank you all so much for listening. I'm so glad to be back. This was really great. And I am looking forward to what next week's Insecure podcast has to offer. But until then, thank you for your time. And don't forget, we got y'all. Bye.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.